The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And today is a celebration of your Don. It is really good to have your Don on your side, on your team. 159 games played now. He still hasn't played a full season in Major League Baseball. How many homers does he have?
He has 16 plus. He now has 16. By the way, no All-Star, and which is understandable when you look at the other All-Stars on the Astros and you look at his numbers, like, those are All-Star numbers now. I would say, 16? So, 45?
44. And 138 RBIs in 159 games.
How many?
138.
Coño, that's a lot.
It's unbelievable. In 159 games, dude has 44 homers and 138 RBIs. He's off to the best start. Yeah, no All-Star. He's off to the best start in Major League history for a batter.
This year, he now leads, with yesterday's game, he now leads the team, not in home runs, but he's got 16 home runs. Same as Carlos Correa. He's got 56 RBIs, which I believe is the team leader now. I mean, he's team leader. You've
56,
got,
not even at the All-Star break yet. That's
no,
awesome.
No, not at the All-Star break. He's got a 937 OPS. His numbers are better than Carlos Correa's, and Carlos is an All-Star.
Yeah. Well, different position, obviously.
I get it. But I'm just saying, if you want to look at the numbers.
Well, it helped his fielding. His fielding helped him get there.
Yeah, no question. And it should. And it should. But he's also got a 9. Well, headed into yesterday, he had a 927 OPS. Dell and I talked about it a lot yesterday, the four All-Stars. And we looked at it. And Yuli, I know, got squeezed. But when you look at Yordan, Yordan's numbers right now are, Yuli had the RBI numbers in his favor. But when you go across the board, I mean, Yordan's got, like I said, the best total numbers right now after yesterday. The best total numbers on the team are Yordan Alvarez. Better than Jose Altuve. Better than Michael Brantley. Total numbers, mm-hmm. including power. Brantley is, low single digits, home runs. Yuli would be up there. Carlos is the closest to him. But Yuli, after yesterday's game by Yordan, I should say, he now has taken the lead. Five RBIs, two home runs, including a prodigious shot in center field. And it is, and this is a guy that is under club control for a long time. So we talked about the fact that, and I'll get to it a little bit later, I got some information over the weekend about Jim Crane and Carlos Correa that might be of interest to you. But what Yordan Alvarez did yesterday is a great reminder that even if Carlos ends up going, you've got a star on your squad who's a younger guy now. Yuli's getting older. And you need Bregman to step up, and you need Kyle Tucker to step up. But you've got one of the most exciting young hitters. We just kind of take them for granted. Those numbers, as you mentioned, who wouldn't take that in a single year? His home runs and RBI totals.
No, it's ridiculous. He is so good, so good. And, he's going to be around. Yordan is going to be here forever. That's another guy that you might have to just give him some money as opposed to going through all the arbitrations and everything else like you did with Bregman, because he is a cornerstone piece for years and years to come. Hopefully he can stay healthy, and hopefully he can play left field like he has been. He's going to have to be out there. He's not slow. You see him score?
No, he actually can move more than I thought.
No, he can move.
He's beat out an infield. He had an infield hit this year where it was just a grounder in the hole. And somehow he beat it out. I was like, what? Or maybe it was a double play. But I remember thinking, how did Yordan beat that out? My son, who doesn't even watch that much baseball, Alec, goes, I didn't know he was that fast. I said, I didn't either, son.
Yeah.
This big Cuban bomber can hit it, can run too.
Yeah, he can go. He can go. So, hopefully he plays a good left field.
Why do you care if he plays outfield?
Pardon me?
Why do you care if he plays outfield? We're American League.
No, I get that, but he's more valuable if he can be on the field too, as well. I'd like him to play first base as long as he is.
Yeah,
that would be. And Yuli's not going to be here forever, so it would be nice if he can move.
Says
over.
You, it seems like he is.
You know, it But
the dude defies age.
Yuli is another guy who is probably 48 right now. I don't know how old he is, but we have no, we really have no idea. He's, we think Brady, oh, Tom Brady, 44 years old. Look, he's still, Yuli is doing this at the age of almost 50, I think. So what he's doing and what this team is doing right now, and again, holy crap. When you fall behind six, when they were down 6-2, I was like, oh, well, Garcia Fromber going tomorrow.
Just had, I guess this is Fromber's time just to fall down.
Yeah. His last couple of outings, he has not been, I don't know if it's a.
He didn't get off to a good start. Now, he locked it in.
Or, yeah, he locked it
in. He
last
locked
time.
It in last time, but the Astros made Fromber just keep going. They're like,
sorry.
You got to eat your innings up. I mean, we don't have, you're not through a bunch of pitches. You got to eat some innings up. And luckily he did after the first two innings, got it together. But man, you get down, you know, what, 6-1 early on, and but then the Astros started.
Yeah, 6-2 early on.
6-2, and then the crooked numbers came.
Yep. Well, then Yordan came up with two on, and that was over. So it's just unbelievable just how good this team is, and again, how clutch they are. Did you see that? They're now 40-19, which isn't even close. Nobody is even close. They're playing well over 620 baseball against teams with winning records. And nobody is even close to that record. And nobody is even close to how many games they've played, which is a bad thing because we know in the future they've got a lot of bad teams coming up. And like it or not, or you have to just scoff at it, they appear to play when they got a good team in here. They are just on
they don't
it. It's
appear
just unbelievable.
To, the numbers tell you that.
Yeah, they really do.
The statistics tell you, the records tell you that for whatever reason, they don't play with the same consistency against the lesser teams this year. And this is actually not the first time this has happened. But I still would rather have Slappies coming in. But, you know, when you can go on the road and sweep the Indians, who are, you know, a solid team.
Got a lot of injuries.
They do. You come off losing three straight at home to the Orioles, and then you go on the road and sweep a team on the road like that. You know, it's one of those things that it's one of the precursors for a championship team is typically the ability to go win games on the road. You have to have that. You have to have that mental toughness and that ability. And it's nice to see that. The Astros now 4.5 games up over the Athletics. You remember the time where the Astros couldn't make up. They were like two games behind the A's no matter how long their win streak got. It didn't matter. Well, the A's aren't playing good baseball now. They haven't, for about a 16-game stretch, they haven't played very good baseball. And you got a chance to stretch this out. If you sweep the A's too, and the Astros have had a lot of success sweeping series up to this point, if you're able to do that, you take a 6.5-game lead with just three games to go against the Yankees before you hit the break.
Yeah, and listen, the A's, they got a nice team. I think their lineup is great. They don't have the pitching.
At least they
Bassett's their ace, and you saw, and he's the Astros biznatch. They take care of business, and the Astros are just better, just a better baseball team. That's all there is to it. And putting their foot on the throat right now this weekend as heading into the All-Star break, it totally sweet. Coming back from 6-2 yesterday because you thought, oh, my goodness. And you got your best pitcher, Fromber, on the mound against your arch rival in a game. And, you know, how much they want it, how much you want it. Down 6-2. And to be able to come back and win that, just awesome. Just awesome. And everybody, Altuve contributed. Miles Straw continues to hit. I told you. I think he should have been in consideration for All-Star. But dude is just raking.
We
right
had a
now.
Discussion about your flip-flop on Straw.
What do you mean my flip-flop?
And we thought you would have argued for Chaz McCormick in the All-Star game as well.
Well,
yesterday.
Chaz had a nice
home run derby. At least home run derby.
Well, dude, that's all he does. Let me get another homer here. Let me homer again against Cleveland in a 4-3 win. Let me knock in 3 of the 4 runs. Okay. All right. And in the other game, two RBIs. 2-for-3 with a double. So, no, he's Chaz McCormick on in any other. How are you going to beat out a Miles Straw? That's all there is to it. You can't beat out a Miles Straw. So Chaz McCormick is He's on the bench. He's got over 1,000 OPS this month. But you know what? How are you going to play with, John, with Miles Straw there?
Who is the best road team in baseball?
The best road? Well, the Astros have a winning record on the road. Oh, big. I think they're like 9 or 10 games over 500.
Nine games. They're number two. Boston is 27-16. The Astros are 26-17. I mean, they beat 500 teams, and they went on the road. Yeah. That's a really good sign. And Jose Urquidy is extremely confident. We'll have some sound. Did you hear his sound?
No. What did he say?
I'll let him tell it to you on the. We'll come back on the other side. We will play it coming back for you. Mark Berman caught up with him, and he had comments about Yuli getting squeezed out of the All Star game, and then Urquidy basically just let it rip with a lot of confidence.
Really?
Yes.
I love that.
I think you're going to love it.
Oh, that's another one of my guys, by the way. I don't know if you heard.
Dale, I put it in your direct messages. Order Kitty's comments. You want to hear it now? I can just scoop it up out of direct message.
We got a couple
of
minutes.
It's not hard. You'll get to hear what. Just let us know when you have it, Dale. But Urquidy is a guy who is, as you'll hear right here, Mark Berman caught up with him asking about Yuli not making the All-Star game. Listen to what Urquidy had to say.
I don't know how they don't take him, but I don't have an idea, but he's playing very good. But it doesn't matter. We are going to be in World Series anyways.
Well,
yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
We're going to be in the World Series anyway. Okay.
I like that.
That's some confidence for you.
Wow. I thought he was going to say, no, I'm going to come back. I'm going to feel good. I'm going to be strong. You know what? I can't wait to get back
in
the rotation.
No, he basically said, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Don't take Yuli. Good. We're going to be in the World Series anyway.
I mean, and look at this. 20 games over 500 now. And this is after losing their... just getting their ass handed to them by the Orioles at home.
Yeah.
On another five-game win streak, plus 140. The next closest team in plus-minus is the Giants at plus one. No, excuse me, the Dodgers at plus 119. This team is just stupid how good it is. This is as much fun as 17.
Yeah, it really is a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. Well, you have some new guys to cheer for, like McCormick. There's nothing really exciting about Straw. He's just like, do your job.
You know what? He's coming through.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
He really is.
I
like that little fella.
You know, there's not as much. It's like you don't have the dominant. I mean, remember in 17, you had Keuchel, but then you didn't have Verlander until much later. Until after the hurricane that you had Verlander. So you're cheering for the lineup, and your lineup is dangerous like that again. So we'll break it here, but that's a lot of good feelings for the Astros. You finished the sweep, you know, back on the streak again, back on a five-game streak. I looked at the streak totals. We'll go through it again. It's amazing. They have losing streaks, but then they have a lot more winning streaks, and it is a streaky team, and they're in the middle of a streak. Again, they're in the middle of a streak. Was it three in Cleveland or four they got?
Four.
They got four. So this is five straight.
Yeah.
With a chance to put two more on the board. They go, today is McCullers.
No, today's Garcia.
No, that's right. Luis Garcia and McCullers is tomorrow.
Yep.
And so you got two of your better pitchers with a chance to sweep the A. So let's see how they hang in. NBA Finals started yesterday, and we've got news for you without question. We'll do that here when we come back. And Chris Paul off to an excellent, excellent start. TGS Insurance is always off to an excellent start for you. All you have to do is make that text. I've been telling you this for a while. You text the word money to 232323. What happens is that they get the text, and an automated system is going to text you back asking for your address. You give it. And then once they have your address, they've got an algorithm that takes your address and runs it through these A-rated insurance companies, and they give them basically instantaneous quotes that they're able to pass along to you instantaneously through that text function, and you can find out what the lowest quote you're going to get. And this is A-rated insurance, so it's not some slappy company. In many cases, these guys are underwriting some of the biggest name companies out there. But what they're going to do is give you a chance to start looking after yourself with competitive pricing. And if you haven't had competitive pricing, then you've been throwing money away. If you stick with the same company and you don't shop for prices, I guarantee you, you've been throwing a ton of money away, and you're going to be very surprised at how much they can save you. In the average savings annually is $900, and you could be into the thousands. So make sure that you text the word money to 232323, no strings attached, no hassle. You just simply find out if you could be saving with your homeowner's insurance with TGS Insurance.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yordan, high fly ball, deep left field, ball game tied. The big man hits a three-run home run. Aaron Yordan ties it at six.
Baby Jordan's dad is having himself a game in his first game back from paternity leave.
How about that? Yordan is just spectacular. Spectacular. What a great guy to have in your team. Oh, not all-star worthy. And I kind of like what Aaron Judge had to say on reuniting with cheating Astros at the All-Star game. He said that.
Oh, this is a New York Post headline.
Yeah. If it happens, it happens. We'll be there to celebrate the game. I don't want to bring any past drama to take away from anything. Good for you. Good for you. Because the Yankees suck. The Yankees suck. Okay? You guys, you want to talk about underachieving. You want to talk about a team that is in disarray. A team that should be far in a way the best team in the American League is just a bust. One of the biggest busts in baseball this year. 43-41, 9.5 games out of first place. Not even close to being in the wild card. You got the A's at 49 wins, and Tampa's got 49 wins. They got a lot of making up. They got a lot of winning to do if they're going to get back in this thing just to be a wild card team. So, you know, the last thing I want to hear from is him or Aroldis Chapman. Aroldis Chapman makes the All-Star game. He sucks.
He sucks. The Yankees hate him. The Yankee fans hate that guy.
Hate him and Gerrit Cole now.
See, my blessings. You thought there was no chance Garrett could suck, and here we are.
Well,
fans are booing him. He can't spider tack himself out there.
Who knew that they were going to make something illegal this year?
Me. Yeah. Who knew they were going to follow rules? Of course, you know the argument. Oh, yeah, in the middle of the season. I get it. It's not optimal. But if you enforce rules, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
It's on the books. Too bad. So sad. Now take your $300 million pitcher who is mentally shot, and good luck, Yankees. Good luck. Good luck with your up against the luxury tax. Good luck. Well, actually, they're over the luxury tax, I believe. The Astros are up against the luxury tax, but they Jay Kaplan had an article for The Athletic that the Astros will be in the market for a reliever. I don't know if he's saying that because he knows of the team. My guess is he does, and he's not just making a normal assumption based on the bullpen.
I think
he knows from the team that they're going to look, because as we talked about before, you can get relievers. Ryan Pressly right now with a whip in 0.8 whip and an ERA in the low, in the mid 1.6s. Ryan Pressly is going to be your closer, but it doesn't mean you can't add a better arm. And I think the Astros are going to add an arm because you can get them relatively cheaply. The question is going to be, are you going to get somebody that you think you're going to roll with for the next, 3 years? Or are you just going to get somebody who's kind of a rental? My guess is they're going to get somebody that they see like Pressly that they're going to assume is going to be with them more long term, which will be great to pair with Christian Javier. And all of a sudden, if Luis Garcia ends up going to the pen, which we assume it's going to be Garcia, then you might be able to avoid. Yeah, I'm okay with Taylor, I guess. I don't want any more Rayleigh. It's just I've had enough. You win, Rayleigh. I don't want to see you anymore.
Well, and I saw a Joel tweet this weekend. It's funny how when Rayleigh actually does perform that all these people come out of the woodwork to say, he was good or that he is good or whatever. Where are they when he's bad? That's the implication I got. Rayleigh is You never know. I mean, sometimes he looks great, and then other times you're like, oh, my goodness, really? And then Stanek in this situation last night, I was like, oh, my, this is what? How about Brian Abreu stepping up and throwing two nice innings, 24 pitches over two innings and just one hit? When he gave up that hit, I was like, oh, here we go. We're getting Brian Abreu'd. And he looked pretty good, and Stanek looked pretty good, and Pressly looked good.
Yeah.
So that was nice after getting – because no three-run lead is safe with our club, not with that bullpen. But when you get, you know, if Javier ever settles in and Garcia moves to the bullpen, you pick up a reliever. Maybe Baez comes back from the dead. I don't know. But I don't think we're going to be – I don't know that necessarily we're going to be seeing these names down the stretch and into the postseason, the names that we've had to see all year long, the Belaks and the Stanics and the Raleys, and we'll see. I mean, maybe Blake Taylor gets it back together. We remember Blake Taylor from, that stretch that he had, and, you know, he hasn't really been the same as he was then. So you know, I think there's a good chance that a lot of these guys that we're seeing right now in this bullpen is not what we're going to be seeing in the postseason. Right. Or down the stretch.
No. Especially if you add an arm. You know, if Baez is the wild card of all of them. I have no idea what you're going to get from Baez. No. You could end up getting a lot, but then again, he's been out for so long that you really have to question, what are you going to get from him when he comes back? But adding Baez, do you think Josh James is going to be a factor at all this year? This could be the second straight year you just have no Josh James.
You don't know. You haven't.
And if that's going to be the case.
If he does come back, how do you know what you got?
He's turning into Josh Whitley. I don't know.
At least we've seen him. We've never seen Whitley. Never seen him. All right. We mentioned that we were going to talk about the NBA Finals, and it was a Chris Paul show again last night. Chris Paul was the favorite going in as the MVP, going to be named the MVP for good reason. He looked great last night. 12 of 19, 4 of 7 from 3, 32. He had 9 assists.
Played 16 years. Guys who play 16 years in the league typically do not play like he's playing right now.
No.
Back-to-back games, an elimination game, and then a game one of the NBA Finals, to put the numbers up he's put up is just really, and the confidence from three.
And especially at that position. Maybe, you know, Kareem, we would see that out of him.
Yeah.
A big man, you could see that out of
him. Yeah, yeah. And Kareem was certainly an outlier, one of the great big men at that. But 16 years, yeah. We're talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar been in the league.
Malone.
We don't even think twice about Chris Paul because he's just been so relevant for so long. And Kareem was relying upon getting the ball at a certain space. Chris Paul's running the show. His injury stuff has not been an issue last year or this year, a big issue. Last year or this year, I should say. It's just watching him orchestrate the game yesterday was really impressive. And Giannis came back, and that was the big news, is that Giannis came back, and I thought Giannis looked good. He was flying around to the basket. Like, he did not look limited. The very first play of the game, they tried to get him on an alley-oop, and he elevated up over Ayton, and Ayton was able to stop the alley-oop. But I thought Giannis physically looked like he was very, very capable. But it just looks like Phoenix... Well, the home courts are just going to be so loud. Milwaukee's going to be loud, but Phoenix, the first time Giannis got to the free throw line, every time he dribbles, and this is going to be the rest of his career now, every time he starts, as soon as the ball is handed to him, if you haven't heard it, the opposing, the Nets fans start it where they start chanting because teams are getting pissed off. They said Giannis is taking more than 10 seconds to shoot his free throw. Yeah. And so the fans, and now it's just a fan thing where every fan base goes, 1, 2, 3, and Phoenix was doing it louder than any fan base I've seen. And they were screaming it. And every time he would miss, it would just give the whole building life. And it's going to be hard for Milwaukee to win in Phoenix.
This is, you'll remember Sergio Garcia when he had he had the yips.
Grip.
And they were counting uno, dos, tres.
Who was doing that?
In New York at Bethpage Black. When they had the U.S. Open.
Out loud?
Out loud.
At the U.S. Open?
When he was yes.
That doesn't sound like a gentleman's game.
It sounded like, I laughed. It sounded like it was kind of funny to me. And unfortunately for Sergio, it didn't help him. He was lost at the time. But that's the same kind of thing for Giannis, that he's going to have to fight every single arena now for the rest of his career, probably, how long he takes to shoot free throws, unless he fixes that. And gets up and actually can shoot a free throw within, you know, about 30 seconds. That'd be nice. But the Suns are just good. Hey, Middleton had a good game, and they still lost. Middleton is the key. He's the wild card in all of this. If Middleton has a good game, usually the Bucks are able to win. They shot 44% from three and still got their ass handed to them by 13. And the Suns only shot 32% from three. And actually, they shot about the same from the field. But the Suns are just better. And Chris Paul, doesn't matter who – he decides who's going to be covering him.
That high screen and roll that they use and his effectiveness, he rubs people off the screen so tight that he is going to get a switch. And Milwaukee switches everything. So Chris is just basically like, let's see.
Lopez?
Who do I want to guard me? Let's go Brooke
Giannis,
Lopez.
Okay. He took Giannis to the hole, got the foul, and won. And Lopez, every time Lopez was on him, he just, okay, watch this, pull up.
He's just on a different level right now.
I would be on the lookout for a market correction as far as free throws are concerned, because you went through some of the numbers, and the big difference, the Suns went to the line 26 times and
they
made them 25
of 26.
Partly because of Giannis, mostly because of Giannis, they were 9 out of 16, the Bucks, so a difference of 10 more times
to
the stripe.
13.
I would look out for a bit of a market correction
in
game 2.
That's a good point, Dell.
In Phoenix, I'm not sure in game 2 that'll happen.
What Dell just gave you is analytics.
I will just tell it'll be a talking point, and I wouldn't be surprised if the whistle for the Bucks is better than it was last
100%.
Night.
So 16 additional points at the free throw line. They lost by 13.
Well, but it was only a difference of 10. They just can't make their free throws. 10 shots. 10 free
throws.
Who's more aggressive, though? Who's more aggressive going to the hole? Listen, can Giannis? I mean, he was aggressive. He was going to his left well and hitting the baseline well. But
yeah, but the Bucks were also shot 44% from three.
That's
like,
what I said.
That may not happen either.
No, that's what I said. Middleton was good, and they shot 44% from three.
Well, Drew Holiday was stunk, so you can look at him and go, if you're only going to give us 10 points on 4 for 14, that's going to be a problem when the other point guard does what he does. When he outscores you by 22, that's going to be a problem. So I would just say expect the Bucks to get a better whistle in game 2.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And that means on both sides. Maybe a couple fouls don't go Phoenix's way.
When their big three hit, Ayton had 22, Chris Paul 32, Booker had 27, and Ayton had 19 rebounds too. When their big three clicks, it's actually been – they haven't had all three of their big three click at the same time. When it does, it's a wrap. Milwaukee cannot beat – Phoenix when all three of their guys play well. For a while, you had Booker, who wasn't a, you know, Chris Paul. Chris Paul wasn't playing as well. Then you had Booker, whose broken nose or jacked up nose wasn't, you know, and sometimes you'd have Ayton just didn't step up. All three of them had big games yesterday, and Booker was 10 of 10 from the free throw line. He's only 1 of 8 from the 3-point line, but he was 10 of 10 from the free throw line, had 6 assists, 27 points. Chris Paul, 32-9 and 8-22 and 19. I just don't see a way that if all three of them play well, that even with Giannis back and with Middleton having a strong game, I just don't know that Lopez or Holiday. You're going to have Holiday play really well, I think. Because I think Lopez is going to be steady for them. Holiday is kind of the X factor. And now we're getting down to like third X factors and fourth X factors. But the market correction, like Dell talked about, yeah, I could see that.
Okay, we got some drama. Drama at the finals that we haven't talked about yet. We'll do it on the other side. What's going on behind the scenes? I was here. I missed it yesterday, so I'll get in on this conversation next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
734 ESPN 97.5. 7378-0-3776. Dell, this is off. We might have to, I don't know what the deal is with this. So if anybody calls in, we can't see. You'll have to tell us. So ESPN has got a little controversy going on. You may have seen Malika Andrews on the sideline yesterday, as opposed to Rachel Nichols, who was supposed to be there. But apparently ESPN distancing itself a little bit from Rachel Nichols. Take a little time, Rachel. A year ago or so.
Rachel Nichols, who was supposed to be there, according to Rachel Nichols.
Right. Well, she has been the face of their NBA coverage.
So what happened to Doris Burke? Dell and I figured that yesterday when we talked on the show, we figured that Doris Burke would be on the sideline. But I guess because Doris is a baller, like she's awesome to listen to, I think. And I guess, I don't know, maybe she didn't want to. Maybe they want to feature somebody who is actually on the network. Why would Doris Burke not do it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know why. How Doris got pushed out. I didn't see her making any racial accusations. Did you? Did we see Doris Burke hitting anybody with some racial accusations? No? All right. Anyway, I thought you were getting the gavel.
No.
You might need it. Anyway, last year, apparently she found out that Maria Taylor, they were going to use Maria Taylor on the NBA Finals as opposed to Rachel Nichols, who is the face during the season of their NBA coverage.
Yeah, with the jump and even in-season.
Yeah, in-season too. She hosts with Jalen, right? With Jalen and Paul Pierce. Well, Paul Pierce got...
Richard Jefferson.
He got kicked. Paul Pierce got kicked to the curb.
Right. Richard Jefferson has slid in there too. That's on the jump.
Yeah.
Jalen and...
Is it Kendrick?
Oh, God. Probably. I mean, Kendrick's literally on every single thing they can find. ESPN believes that Kendrick is the most talented and most relevant analyst that they have ever had. And I'm like, what are y'all doing?
She was on Zoom and she didn't realize it, that she had kept her camera on. And it was being recorded by people back at ESPN. And she was talking to her agent?
Alan Mendelsohn, the publisher for LeBron James, who has also had to come out and say some things.
He had some things that he had to walk back a little bit. But here's what she said. I wish Maria Taylor all the success in the world. She covers football. She covers basketball. If you need to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your crappy longtime record on diversity, which, by the way, I know personally from the female side of it, go for it. Just find it somewhere else. You're not going to find it from me or taking my thing away. How is that in any way, shape, or form a slight to Maria Taylor?
Because for some people, it was a suggestion that Maria Taylor got that job because she's black, not because of her talent level.
Well, but she did say she covers football, she covers basketball. If you need to give her more things to do, but this is a slight to ESPN, not to Maria. I don't think it at all assumed that Maria Taylor just is moving up the ladder because of that.
What if you have, if you're doing things to correct your previous issues with diversity, and you know when people hear diversity, it generally goes to race or gender. So they're both women. So people made the assumption that if she's talking about Maria getting an advantage because of diversity, it's because she got an advantage because she's black, and I'm not, and Rachel Nichols is not.
But she also I get that. But she also said, listen, I know because I'm a woman, and I've been hit by it too. Their longtime crappy longtime record on diversity, which I've been on I personally know from my side of it. Go for it, find it somewhere else. And it was you yesterday, Dell said, this is what everybody who's getting kicked out thinks.
What I said, we're never at our best when we are losing an opportunity. So it's a private conversation, and sure, you would have hoped that she would have been more gracious if she's friends with Maria Taylor. I don't know that relationship, but when something like this happens, no one's ever going, well, they gave it to the more talented person. No one thinks that way. That's human nature. Isn't to just to go to, well, she's more deserving than me, so I'm glad she got it. We always find a way to rationalize why we didn't get a job.
Yeah. If somebody's moving up because, well, they're not as good as I am. And Clay Travis chimed in. ESPN is taking Rachel Nichols off sidelines for NBA Finals, and they're kicking Rachel Nichols to the curb and moving. And Maria Taylor, he thinks Maria Taylor actually released this thing just so because of her contract negotiations.
Well, that's interesting because the producer who released it in-house was let go. So that doesn't mean, but this was also disseminated to multiple people at ESPN, so it literally could have been anybody. So it's hard to say. I think, as I mentioned yesterday, I think Maria Taylor is very talented. Very, very talented. And my guy Peter Burns has nothing but good things to say about her. He worked with her at SEC Network. And I think she's the rising star at ESPN. Mm-hmm. I think that's clear. A former athlete, attractive, very good at her job, which, you know, that helps too, to be really good at her job. I think she asked great questions as a sideline reporter for the most part. And, I mean, to me, if you just ask me, just the eyeball test, just say, okay, who's the one who has the upward trajectory? Well, it's going to be Maria Taylor. It's not Rachel Nichols, to me, personally. That's without knowing all things involved. But this is going to be an interesting time, because if ESPN just says, okay, we hear you, Twitter. You have Kendrick Perkins being called an Uncle Tom, and you have Richard Jefferson, and they're both from the movie Get Out and all this stuff, because they couldn't possibly have the back of one of their teammates, and Rachel Nichols is a teammate. And I think that's been eye-opening to some people who thought that, you know, what's funny is they didn't think they would catch it from Black Twitter, which is a whole separate conversation on Twitter. And now you got guys saying, wow, we did not think, what's the problem? They're speaking their truth. They know her and all this. It really doesn't matter who you are. If you get in the way of this, when you're going to catch it. But if ESPN just sits tight and lets this all pass, that's what they need to do, is not freak out on this. Because if you do, all you do is let Twitter mob know that they can push you out of, unless ESPN believes that there's a reason to get rid of Rachel Nichols. To me, let her stay on the jump and do what you're going to do with Maria Taylor. She's the future from a female perspective, in terms of, you know, you got your Stephen A. Smith or whoever that you've elevated. Maria Taylor is your future, obviously, to me. She's your future from an upwardly mobile female standpoint of a host and all that. Malik Andrews, who they have on the sideline, I think she's another one who's got a lot of, you know, who's got a lot of talent and potential. But I don't know. You know, it's not going to change my, I'm not going to care one way or another. I'm not watching The Jump typically. So that's not really for me, that show. I don't watch it that often. It's just a midday. It's a midday show. If it's on, I might check it out. I don't go search it out.
Yeah.
No offense, it's just a midday show. I'm trying to write up offensive line from Nicholls State. Do y'all want to do that? Do you guys want to look at Nicholls State tape?
Not particularly.
No. No one does.
Well, then mind your business, Rachel, and stop getting in my business.
No one wants to do that, including you, I don't think. I don't know. So watch more of The Jump with Rachel.
You couldn't do that yesterday.
Nope, you couldn't do anything.
Watch more of The Jump with Madonna McNutt. Who's McNutt?
McNutt.
Yeah.
Rachel McNutt?
No. The one who was on there yesterday on First Take.
Oh, I don't know.
No.
I don't watch that show.
I don't like McNutts.
Monica McNutt.
Oh.
Yeah, she's been on.
Ordering that.
Big toe lady for me.
McDonald's.
She was.
Well, I don't want no McNutts.
I don't think that's a get these McNutts.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
No,
you don't say D's McNutts.
All right. I'd rather have a McFlurry.
Well,
McNutt.
We all would. You don't want any McNutts in your McFlurry?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah, I guess I recognize her, but yeah, I don't know. I don't watch First Take.
All right, it's 7:43. We got Colby. He wants to get in on this on the other side. 713-780-3776. We got a lot more to delve into as well here on the show. We haven't talked about Shikari either yet. We'll get into that as well. Shikari out. Talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, Colby wants to get in here. Let's see what he's about. What's up, Colby?
Hey, guys. Good morning to y'all.
You too.
Hey, so I just feel like with the ESPN thing, they've repeatedly botched the timing of these changes. I feel like, you know, if they give Rachel Nichols the respect of maybe finishing out the year just like the Spider Tech, finish out the year with what you were doing, let everybody get adjusted, maybe transition and have a conversation with Rachel Nichols at the end of the year and say, hey, we're making a change here. But because it's the finals, Rachel's probably really excited to be on the finals, and it's her gig, and then you yank it away from her, what do you expect? So I just feel like they suck internally at communicating within their team, which in turn makes people upset and then runs into diversity issues that were avoidable to all to begin with, when you could have just sat them both down or made an easier transition and just communicated a little bit better. And then all this hoopla is gone. So that's kind of my opinion. Just, yeah, you yank it away from Rachel last minute right before the finals. Yeah, I'd be upset too. Give her a shot at the finals and then let her transition to something else and tell her you're moving in another direction. That's the respectful way of going about it, I would think. So I'll hang up and listen and get your 2 cents on that.
See, if you get rid of Rachel Nichols, though, I think she's got the ability to sue. I don't think they'll do that because she had a private conversation leaked.
There's also a timing thing here that's getting confused. These comments aren't new.
They're a year old.
Yeah, so she was upset about something
last finals.
So I don't know when they told her that she wasn't going to be the studio host, but this has been a thing at ESPN for about a year now, and it just resurfaced for whatever reason now. I guess because the New York Times thought it would be a good time right before the finals to re-up it. So I get what you're saying, but I don't think this was a last minute thing. What happened to her getting yanked off the sideline, that's quick, and because they had to try to push away some of the controversy, but I don't think they surprised her with it. She just off the cuff started talking about it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It resurfaced, and it became this is much bigger firestorm. When was the first time it was released?
Saturday.
No, yeah.
It was never
out there in the public
Not publicly before this. But apparently, it had been privately, and they Maria Taylor made a comment on Instagram to people now about how some women don't have other women's back or something like that.
And Maria Taylor apparently has not answered. Rachel Nichols said she has tried to reach out numerous times, and Maria Taylor none of it.
Well, from what I read yesterday, they are intentionally not at this. ESPN doesn't have them in the same place at the same time, so they don't have to see each other.
Yeah,
this has been a thing at ESPN for a while.
So the initial comments were from July of 2020, and you know, because of COVID, the finals got pushed back. So this comment was right before when the bubble was getting going, and obviously the finals happened in August or something last go round. So it was right before the finals last year. Mm. But I don't know when they told her that she was off the studio show.
Whatever the case may be. And listen, I don't think the time, ESPN's time, this just happened. It was just released publicly, so ESPN had to react. What do you guys think of Dave Stewart's comments about Trevor Bauer? Did you see that?
I see what Stu said.
Stu said, I am not going to the World Series celebration. The Dodgers were going to let him pitch, and it took Major League Baseball to step in to get Trevor Bauer out of there. But any guy who does this to a woman cannot, he said, this is not the O'Malley's Dodgers. The O'Malley's Dodgers would not have any of this. It was a family atmosphere. We had kids running around the locker room. It was family first. It was team. It was all about this stuff. And for the Dodgers not to react to Trevor Bauer and let Major League Baseball do it instead of reacting themselves is a disgrace, and I don't want to be part of it. And I'm not going to be part of their ring celebration, which I wanted to do because I wanted to. Unfortunately, Tommy Lasorda's not going to be there, but I wanted to be part of this thing, and I'm not going to be now.
So they were celebrating, I guess, the 81 title, the team he was on.
Right.
And now he's like, nah, I ain't going.
So do you kind of feel like, I mean, we're seeing a little bit of that with Deshaun here. Like the one statement that Nick Caserio makes that, well, we're going to have to make a decision on Deshaun. Oh, my God. The Texans have to make a decision on Deshaun. What are they going to do? Holy cow. If the Texans actually said something about Deshaun. That the Texans have to react. At least Major League Baseball reacted and said, look, we can't have Trevor Bauer on the mound.
MLB did the right thing, and this is another thing we covered a little bit yesterday, but there's a lot of information that came out in terms of Major League Baseball says Major League Baseball is looking much deeper because I think the Deshaun Watson thing, first and foremost, I think most recently, what was the other thing, Dell, that we talked about that there was something historical?
Oh, Kobe.
Which one?
Like would the NBA have allowed Kobe to play now?
Well, that was another discussion we had, but I think if you looked at the Deshaun situation, at one point it looked like it was one person making an accusation and Tony Busby was just trying to get attention on social media. Mm-hmm. Well, before you knew it, there was a crap ton of accusations and there was Me Too about Weinstein. You know, it came out and then all of a sudden there was this avalanche that happened over time about Me Too. This happened Me Too with Harvey Weinstein. With Deshaun Watson, you had multiple people come out over time. I think of baseball right now is very cognizant because of the Deshaun situation and maybe even Weinstein situation where they say, we got to be careful about saying, okay, this is the one and that's it. They're doing a lot of background work right now. And has this happened again? Are we going to expect more people to come out with this?
Oh, the cops are looking at
that. And they're looking into his past behavior.
Did you see
right
what the cops said?
Yeah,
this is a much bigger thing than we thought.
It's going to take more time than we thought. It was a short deal, and it's not.
It's not.
And that doesn't mean that he's guilty of it, but he might be into bondage or S&M or whatever. And now you got to sift through consensual and non-consensual.
Well, and now that this is public, you wonder if, like Deshaun, if there other women are going to step.
That's what he said. You can't turn a faucet off and start making decisions about Trevor Bauer's, okay, this is what his punishment is, until you know exactly what you're dealing with. So he's going to be out at least through the All-Star break. And
I don't know how you put him back on the mound after the All-Star break.
Unless they feel confident that, okay, this is it. No one else is coming forward. But they're always going to be
sitting
there
looking
over.
Even still, you have this case. Forget about if there's nobody else.
Right.
You still have this.
But if it's not. But if it's not criminal, you can fade it if it's civil. If it's criminal, then you got
even
problems.
Even still, guys in that locker room, and Dave Stewart said that too. He said, I don't know how anybody in that locker room can play with that guy. And we saw the Astros react to domestic violence. Well, we also saw him get Roberto Osuna. But we saw the minor leaguer you're out. You're not going to be part of this organization. And then they go and trade for Roberto Osuna, which was ridiculous. Anyway, but this ain't going away soon, anytime soon. And Deshaun ain't going away anytime soon. And it would be nice for the NFL to actually do something. It really would be nice for the NFL to actually say, you know, as opposed to reacting, you know, be proactive and say, Deshaun, just maybe they have. Maybe they told Deshaun to stay away. I don't know. Maybe they told Deshaun you're not going to show up. Maybe they have, but they certainly haven't made anything public, which would be nice for all the women out there and everybody following this story to find out to actually see that the NFL or the Texans are actually reacting to what has happened with Deshaun. 713-780-3776. If you got any thoughts on this, you're more than welcome to get in here. 713-780-3776. And we mentioned Shikari Richardson before the break. She's not going at all. People have spoken out. It was pretty obvious that Ricky Williams was going to be on her side, that he's an ally to Shikari Richardson.
And also Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen is coming out. She's not going there. She's a Dora. Seth. I just can't do it with you all the time.
Joe Biden made a comment about it. He thought he really liked the way that she reacted.
Can you believe that the questions that get asked of presidents now, what are your thoughts on Shikari? I guess it's because it's Olympics and representing the country. Like, your thoughts on Shikari Richardson? Be like, what?
Who's that?
I'm trying to do other stuff.
Is she along the border? What happened?
Who is Shikari Richardson? What are we doing here? I don't know this one.
She a world leader I haven't met
yet? Yeah, right. Shikari Richardson?
She got busted smoking weed, and she was going to run for the Olympics. Wow. I mean, that happens, doesn't it? Is this a thing, or what are we
doing? I guess there are rules. She broke a rule, right?
She broke a rule, right? Is it illegal now or not illegal? I lose track with weed. Is she able to? So it's legal in her state, but she still got... Okay, whatever they say is what I say, yeah. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do other things.
I'm the president. I'm really worried about some other stuff, like, you know, the economy and stuff. That's what I got to worry about. Anyway, so Sha'Carri's not running at all because the U.S. Olympic Committee said she's out.
She could have been on the relay, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. How much money did she cost? She was apparently going to be one of the stars of the Olympics.
Well, she had a moving company through NIL. They were going to give her $5,000. No.
Well, how about now all the weed dispensaries? She might have made herself some money, though.
I'm not sure that's what you want to do.
Yeah. You want to lean into that now?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They make money overseas. Sprinters do. There's an overseas market for sprinters and track meets and all that stuff.
Yeah.
She may have cost herself some money because she had a great chance. She was probably going to be the gold medal favorite. Yes.
And endorsement deals that would have come her way from winning the gold medal.
Yeah. Hair color places.
Yeah, I'm sure people would have jumped on that too, and now that's all. She won't be able to do for some. Well, we know why she did it. She was coping with the death, and it turns out it was her mother who died. We had a back and forth about which one.
It was her mom. I thought you said a grandma.
Biological mom.
Biological mother died.
Oh.
So understand, I guess, why she turned that to cope. But yeah, it's a decision that's going to cost her not. She's at the Olympics. She can't get back for another 4 years.
You think? Okay, I'm not going to be insensitive here, but yeah, her mom died, so all of a sudden I got to smoke weed. Smoking weed before this.
I don't know. She had never been busted before, right?
No,
she had to do it at LSU. Well, not that LSU cares about rules. But she had to do it for Olympic trials beforehand, and that's what she pointed to. I don't want to call her a liar.
No,
she's not Ron Washington. She's not like 50.
Well. Right, Ron Washington.
So
is
she might have. She might have just started.
You know what? I'm 50. Got to start doing some blow.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Anyway, 7:59 ESPN 97.5. What you need is a little bit of Texas Custom Patios. Is what you need.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet with Steven. I'm talking about him doing some stuff. We're going to meet with a restaurant about him potentially building a small patio area for a restaurant, because one of the things that's really come up is that, look, when the weather is good, when we have better weather, and some people don't mind sitting outside eating even when it's humid here in Houston. But, you know, that outdoor patio, the outdoor eating also is something that has people very, very excited in the springtime. I know we do it at my house on my outdoor patio. It's an outdoor living space. I've got a sound system there. I've got the big TV, my satellite system, my Apple TV out there. It's a great place to go and watch games, and we're getting ready to get a ping pong table, I think, so that we can also play out there. Having that space available has been great. It's great for the kids. It's great for me. It's great for entertaining, and it's something that you can have. And I always tell people to go to tcplance.com, and you can see my backyard before, which is no great shakes, and then my backyard after, and you're going to be blown away. Everyone's blown away by what it looks like, the before and after. And I think you will be as well. And the great thing is, he can do that for you. Stephen Schell and his company can turn your house into a home with their amazing patios and additions. And they are waiting for you. They can have that thing finished by the fall. And all of a sudden, you're going to be watching your games outside and enjoying the amazing weather here that we have in the fall and through January. Maybe not so much during freezes, but every other time when you go to TexasCustomPatios.com.